All right, well, good evening. Shaleda, thank you for all the things that we want to do as a church. We don't believe that they're going to happen without prayer, and so thank you for leading that team. And never been a part of a church with such a powerful prayer team, and so consider it an honor for our families to call each other friends and partners in this thing called ministry. We appreciate all that the prayer team does. And today we are talking about prayer, so if you would go ahead and go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, my question for you is when you approach God in prayer, who are you approaching? Yesterday evening, it was a joy. We got to be a part of a neighborhood block party in our neighborhood that another family in our church had put on. And it was like perfect weather. There was a couple fire pits. There was a food truck with Honduran food. It was amazing. There was a cakewalk, desserts, s'mores, a bounce house. It was awesome. And one of the things that I really enjoyed is that there was all sorts of little kids roaming around everywhere, and none of them were mine. Like, all of ours are like self-sustaining, like they take care of themselves, so we just got to visit, and we were loving life. But I wonder if something like this would ever has happened to you, with lots of little kids around and dad sometimes talking. Sometimes children get confused, and a toddler or a really small one will come and just hug your leg, right? And so they're just down here, and that doesn't bother me. We've had lots of kids, and so this little kid just hanging on, and maybe they needed some security or comfort. I mean, I'll be any of those things, right? And then after a little bit of squeezing on my leg, right, looks up in a little bit of just questioning and curiosity, and then a little bit of like the stink eye. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not my dad. And I'm looking, going like, it's not my fault. Like, you picked me, right? Then they go off to their dad and they do that. This may happen to you, but they just picked the wrong dad. Like, I am a dad, but I'm not theirs. And so just asking you the question real quick of when you approach God in prayer, who are you really approaching? And just want to define something of when we approach God and how he answers prayers. And I just want to get in, I want you to define kind of how you think about that and who he is that you're approaching. There's a little bit of a spectrum here. We'll put a slide up, but one school of thought as far as prayer goes is that God is sovereign, which that is true. God is sovereign. He rules the universe. He stands outside of time. It says that even before you were born, okay, determining even the places where you would live and move and all of those things. So if this school of thought in a very high view of God is going, if he rules the entire universe and he's been around a lot longer, he's been around forever and will be along forever, why would he listen to us, right? So really, when you go before in this school of thought, God is sovereign and he's already planned to do what he's gonna do, then really prayer, it just simply changes you. Like, it just softens your heart to become a little bit more attuned to what God's already gonna do, and that ministers to you, it makes you at peace, but really it doesn't change anything about any situation. So that's one school of thought. That's one way of thinking and praying. A lot of scripture goes along with this. A couple of the things that would be hard to wrestle with would be in Exodus, when God states his plan of what he's gonna do, Moses intercedes on Israel's behalf, and it says he relented or repented or changed his mind. And so either that's a one-time off, or sometimes that would give a little bit of questioning in this school of thought. Let's just go on the other side of the spectrum. And over here, God is, I'm gonna say, moldable. He is bound to answer our prayers. Some people who would abuse this would say, name it and claim it. Like, they'll quote the verse and say, God said, now you have to do this. You said, ask whatever you want. So almost as if we're God and he's not. And so sometimes here can be a smaller view of God, but a lot of people believe in this way, and you just claim it and quote it and you pray it and it's gonna be done. And if it's not done, it's really your problem because you didn't have enough faith. This school of thought of who we are approaching. And then maybe there's somewhere in the middle where some of us may be. This middle ground does not at all question that God is sovereign, that he rules the universe. That's not up for debate. But maybe that he would ask us to partner with him. So we don't tell him what to do. He just simply invites us to partner with him. You can maybe see this with even Adam when he gives Adam and Eve the responsibility of ruling and subduing the earth. It even says that he brought the animals to Adam to see what he would name them. Well, God could do all of that, right? But he invites us into partnership with him. So if we are in partnership with him, he is in control and everything happens for a reason. But when we pray, potentially certain things would happen. or if we don't pray, then certain things may not. You see, a lot of times in Acts, when people would pray and people would be healed, you would see prayers happening and their places would be shaken. There would be open doors, literally. There would be lives changed, literally. There would be people set free, literally, when people prayed. So my question for you is what if you prayed things in his will and you saw all kinds of specific, tangible answers? Wherever you fall on the spectrum sometimes can hinder our amount of prayer and our fervency, or it can encourage us. But let me just ask this. I want everybody here today to at least start looking at the scriptures and defining what your belief of who the God that you are approaching is and what you believe about prayer. Because listen, if you don't know where you are on the spectrum, if you don't know the one that you are approaching, if you don't even know if what you're asking is right, and you don't come with confidence because you don't know if you're gonna get an answer, that doesn't sound like a real confidence in coming to the Lord in prayer. And that's not what we want today. So this whole spectrum of prayer is not in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus actually doesn't talk about it at all. He doesn't address this spectrum of prayer, but he does tell us about who we're approaching. And he invites us to continually and persistently and relentlessly pray and ask. So I'm gonna read for this one more time for us, and let's look at who we are approaching when we pray. Verse 7 of chapter 7, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or which one of you asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? The very first thing we have here in your notes is an invitation to ask. An invitation to ask. The present tense, making a request, three different types, asking, seeking, and knocking. This is not just simply putting a request. It's a continual thing. It is one thing to ask somebody something. It's one thing to go and seek after that if you don't get an answer, and then even to go and knocking on that. I don't know what the people would have been thinking through here. Let's just say I like Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors. If I were to go to a concert and ask one of the security guys, hey, can I go and like shake his hand or get to know him? Like, can I? And they'd probably say no. Like, you didn't buy the ticket, so no. But I could just ask, but then what if I snuck around the security guards, right? And I try to run up on stage and either get a bro hug or something else from Drew or Ellie, and you could do that. Or you could actually just really weird them out and like find out where they live and go to their home and start knocking on their door and be like, hey, I'm your biggest fan. Like, can I come and have dinner? Like, do you see the progression here? Simple ask, a knock. Okay, even a seeking of going after. And this persistence, listen, sounds almost a little obnoxious, but over and over, Jesus tells stories about this. You can write this down. We won't go there right now, but Luke 18, 1 through 8 talks about this persistence. It talks about a widow, and even it talks about an unjust judge. She continues to go before this judge, and it says, God will give her justice. But basically, she continues to go, and the judge doesn't even want to give her justice, but because she's gonna keep coming again and again and again and again, he finally just gives her her request. The same thing in Luke 11, which is a similar passage to this. We have a picture of somebody who goes to their neighbor in the middle of the night and says, hey, I need some food. We have guests who've just stopped here. And they said, hey, we're already asleep, go away. The guy keeps on knocking and keeps on knocking and keeps on knocking. It says, not because the guy's his friend, but because of his persistence, the neighbor will give him what he wants. And these are the stories that Jesus is telling as if he esteems these people, like giving us a model for how we pray in persistence towards him. Now listen, as a father, I don't side with the Lord on this one, right? This is not how I roll with my kids, although I'm glad that this is the model he gives us. When my kids ask me again and again and again and again for something, and the first time it was no, and then it was no, and then it was really no, I get to the point to say, listen, it's not changing. Actually, I'm gonna take away whatever you have if you keep on asking me, right? Anybody been there? I don't say what is implied here of going, you know what, I've said no 5 times, but if you ask me another 1,000, I just may say yes. Like, continue to nag and ask and beg. But somehow we have this persistence of saying it is okay. It's this invitation that we get to ask. Even though I can't track with this as a father, I wanna be able to say to some of you who have persistence in prayer, I still, just an example from my own life, when I was 13, I gave my life to Jesus, and for the very first time, I felt at home. The approval, the forgiveness, satisfaction in my heart, I just felt at home. I had a heavenly Father that I had a restored relationship with. It was glorious. I wanted my family to know about Jesus. I wanted them to know what I felt inside of my heart. I started praying for stepmother, father, brothers, sisters, sister, cousins, aunts, and uncles. There was really just a couple of believers in all of my family. So I started praying for them that they would know that which I had found, the hope of Jesus. I prayed for 23 years. 23 years before the first person ever gave their life to the Lord in my family. Asking, seeking, knocking. I don't know if anybody in here has grown weary in their persistence in prayer. The Lord invites us to ask and to seek and to knock in persistence. So first off, point one, we have an invitation to ask. The second thing is, as we look a little bit broader at this story, we have an illustration of relationship. We have an illustration of relationship. Look at who this story is about. As we read it again, it says, or which one of you, in verse 9, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? This is a picture. This is a picture of a child coming before a father. Maybe much like the child that was hanging onto my leg, right? A picture of that. This is not a wishing well that you just throw something in. This isn't a cosmic force. This is the picture we have is of a child coming before a father, and a father has good intentions for their child. Can I just take a quick pause here real quick? If this is an illustration of relationship, one part of a relationship is being able to ask. So listen, I love it when my kids have needs and they come, they need to be comforted, they need to be rescued, they need something from me. I love being able to do that, but that's not the only thing that defines our relationship. So listen, we're just talking about one little slice of our talking with the Lord is asking. How many know if my kids, all they ever did was ask me for something, it wouldn't be very deep of a relationship. Right? If they were just to come to me and say, hey, Dad, thanks for this, and thanks for this, and thanks for this, and hey, can I have this, and can I have this, and can I have this, and can I have this? All right, peace out. Like, and they're gone. That's not so much of a relationship. If I can just give you a little insight that has helped me so much in my time with the Lord and in my prayers, because that's what so much of it used to be. One of the things that is a blessing to me as a father is when my kids come home from school. And I don't know which side of this you would be on, but I ask my kids when they come home from school, hey, how was your day? And they usually say what? Good. Good. So like you want to tell me a little bit more? Well, no, it's good. I went to class, did my assignments, came home. I'm here, right? That's a true statement. Good. You know what blesses the heart of this father? When I ask my kids and I say, hey, how's it going? They're going, Dad, you know what the test I studied for? It was actually a lot harder than I thought, so I'm gonna have to like do some extra credit because it was not good. And do you remember when I was telling you about Clara and she has that thing this weekend and I was kind of stressed about it? You know what, she told me about this and I'm actually invited and we're just kind of going through the day, nothing like life-changing, but it's my child and it's my kid and I want to know the details of the day. So usually as opposed to them just saying good and they just run through what's been hard or difficult, where they were frustrated, where what was a joy to them. You know what, that brings great joy to this father here. If the picture of this relationship here is a child to a father, I just wonder and just challenge you if this isn't a part of your prayer time with the Lord, is maybe before we get to all the asking, maybe like the Lord's prayer suggests, to just go through the day with the Lord, right? To just, hey, Lord, you know what? Today was kind of stressful and it was hard. And actually, I felt very frazzled. And you just tell him the ups and the downs of your day. Maybe that would bring about more of a relationship. Maybe it is when you get the good news, the first person you tell is him. The bad news, the first person you confide in him. That's a joy to this father. And if we have a relationship between a child and a father, I just want to remind you that maybe that would make your prayers seem a little less systematic and more of a relationship. So just know, just that's a side note that's been very fruitful in my relationship. But if an illustration of a relationship, what does that mean for us as far as it goes with asking? for to ask and we're going before a Heavenly Father, what does that mean for us? What are the implications? Let me just illustrate this for a moment. My wife, this was about 12 years ago, my wife got to go to China. And so a person that she had discipled as a college student became a missionary in China, and so she got to go. So at the time, my children were 5, 3, and 1, and she was gonna be gone for 11 days. And so I was starting to get a little worried when the time was coming along, and so she was going with several other moms, and so I called the other husbands and saying, hey, like, what's your game plan? Like I need a little pep talk or something. I'm gonna be with my kids for 11 days. And both of them said, oh man, my in-laws, like, they've got it. Like, I'm actually going on a work trip. Like, I'm not even gonna be here. And I was thinking to myself, traitor. I didn't know how I would survive with it all, but for the next 11 days, I had one strategy. It was to say yes. I was gonna say yes as many times as possible. And so I did. Remember, it started off, we went to the aquarium in Dallas. It was the old aquarium, not the new one, so it was less than spectacular. But as we're driving back, I have this in my head. I'm gonna say again and again, yes. I think it was Emily, not Ansley, asked, they're like, Dad, those tall buildings, have you ever been in one of those? I was like, yeah, my mom used to work downtown right there. And she's like, could we go up in one of those? Yes. So we went up. Do you think we can go up like an elevator? Well, the answer, hopefully the person who's there will also have the same answer as I am, and it would be yes. And let me just tell you something. If you ever get to go to a skyscraper before, don't try them here so much in buildings, but when you go on these skyscrapers that have 40, 50, 60 stories, man, these elevators, they go so fast that like when you get to the top, you have to do like the air pressure thing, like when you are on an airplane. It's amazing. And the cool thing is they go so fast, we learned this little trick. If you go to like the level 40 and push 30, right before it takes off, if you jump right at the right time, you're like up in the air for just like a second more. Just try it if you're a young person. It's amazing. So we did that and we rode for just a little while and it was spectacular because they said yes. And so then we're driving. And then in downtown Dallas, they were actually demolishing a building. And then not where they like exploded and stuff, but there was like a big wrecking ball. And they were like, hey Dad, can we pull over? And of course my answer was what? Yes, so we pulled up and everything but the popcorn. We watched this building being demolished. And then we get home and they're like, Dad, can we sleep in the living room? And I'm like, yes. Can we have macaroni and cheese? Yes. And can I just tell you, it was just one of the most bonding experiences I've had with my kids. Actually, I did get some relief from my in-laws after day 7 or 8. And it was like almost, I didn't want to leave them. What I want you to know is that a heart of a father is to do what is best for their children. Like they didn't use all their yeses for their entire lifetime then. Like it was a joy to this father to see my kids flourish. And if we're talking about this, we approach a heavenly father, then a couple things of application is this: you are not a burden. You don't run out of frequency and how many times you can talk to him. He doesn't say, I have already heard from you today. He doesn't say, I need to take a break. We've already talked about this. He's not on his phone. He's not watching sports. He's not watching Netflix. He's not interested in anything that would be greater or sidetracked. I'm just saying the invitation comes from a heavenly father that if even myself who is sinful and you who are sinful, listen, know how to give good gifts, how much more our heavenly father. That's the invitation we have from him to ask, and we have an invitation for a relationship as well. And I would just say, just to pause a side note real quick, if your father here on earth was not like that, I feel you. You can have that relationship with a heavenly father and you get a taste of that here of home. And then if you give your life to him, then when you die one day, you'll be home. And you'll know what that is and what that invitation really looks like. So just know this, we have an invitation to ask. We have an illustration of relationship, which is so incredibly amazing. But then the very last thing that I want to be able to present to you from this is there is an indubitable response. It's gonna be the word of the day. Everybody say indubitable. Okay, it's unquestionable, patently evident, it's certain. Listen how it speaks here. It says, for everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be open. There's this like guarantee of response from our Father. He will respond. Actually, the picture is this. How scandalous, how shady would it be if my son asked for bread because he's hungry and I wrap up a rock, right, a stone instead? What if he were to ask for a fish and I were to wrap up a serpent, right? No sinful person would do that. So big picture, look at this. So he's saying, ask, seek, and knock. So would he not respond in this illustration he's just given of something that would be like so wrong from sinful people? If he's saying ask and seek and knock, would he not respond? Dallas Willard says it this way. He says God's response to our prayers is not a charade. He doesn't pretend to answer our prayers when he is only doing what he was gonna do anyways. Our requests really do make a difference in what God does or does not do. I would say this, a father responds to his children what is best for them. So although I love saying yes for what is best for my child, that can also be a no, or it can be a wait. It can be you're not responsible enough. It can be a lot of different things that my kids cannot always understand. But as a loving father, I respond to my children. The fact that the Lord would respond, it's not a charade. So I guess my question for you, so we looked at this whole prayer spectrum here. Do you believe that the Lord responds? Does he respond by simply changing our hearts and we become more in line with that? If that was enough, and that's all he ever gave us, the fact that we could have a relationship with him, that's good. Are there times that we could intercede and really ask him for things and we would see things differently? There would be things that would happen that would be differently. Well, as a father, he responds. And if I could just ask, my wife and I were talking and struggling through this last night. There's some of you in this room and you don't feel like, it's been so long since you felt like the Lord answered a prayer or responded that you just, it's just not your MO anymore. You don't really pray a whole lot because it really didn't make much of a difference. And there's some of us here, maybe you feel like the Lord didn't respond or he gave you the wrong answer and it's been incredibly painful. Like you got a no or a no response in your mind and the person wasn't saved, the person wasn't rescued. The deal didn't go as you thought it was, and it was a game changer for you. It feels like a breach of relationship. It feels like you've been betrayed or disappointed. Depending on your relationship with the Lord, you may not want to say that out loud, but that's what it feels like. And so maybe you just kind of go about your own business because he didn't respond in the way that you wanted him to respond. I would offer you today and say for this word, I don't know your disappointment, but you have an invitation here to ask. You have an invitation to come back to the Lord, maybe without the understanding of why it happened the way it did. You have an invitation into relationship. You have a promise of response. I'll tell you, I want to honor because I love him so dearly. My father is great, but we had a pretty dysfunctional home. And there was a whole lot of hurt that happened with my father and I. So to know that and hurt that even went until I was close to 40. He's my dad. Like, I want to be loyal. Like, all of those things happen. Here's what I would just say. I know what it looks like to have distance and disappointment. One of the greatest gifts that I had this summer is during my sabbatical, I asked my dad. I said, Dad, if I got a cabin in Hot Springs for 2 or 3 days, how about we get together, we cook together, we just read, and we just hang out? He said, yes. So 3 days in Hot Springs, we just hung out. I asked him a lot about his childhood. I got to spend, I don't know if in our history we've ever had 3 days just he and I hanging out, honestly. So from this awkward, weird hurt from before to just being with my father, it was healing. It was restorative. It actually shaped and changed the way I thought of my father now. It was good. I don't know how to explain that to you. I would just say this, for some of you who've gotten a response that you didn't like, or you feel like he didn't respond and you felt disappointed, how about you take a step towards him in a conversation and spend some time with him, this invitation towards relationship and this invitation to come back in and to pray. just may be surprised by the amount of healing that it does to your heart, what it does for your relationship. So that is the invitation that we have for you today. So we have three things. We have a invitation to ask. We have an illustration of relationship. We have an indubitable response. Promises like God will use all things for the good for those who believe and have been called according to his promises, and we can claim those. So here's what I want to do. I'm gonna ask our worship team to come on up. They're gonna lead us in another song. I'm gonna ask our prayer team, if you would be available and come, any of our elders or our prayer team, just sit on the front row. And here's what I wanna ask you guys. What are we inviting you to today, Fellowship Midtown? We're inviting you to a life of prayer. I don't know what it's been up until now. We want to invite you, the same invitation that the Lord is giving as a heavenly father asking his children, an invitation into relationship and an invitation into a life of prayer. Barna statistically says the average believer prays less than 2 minutes a day, more like 1 minute a day, which is not a very thriving, flourishing relationship. And I'm just saying, listen, I'm inviting you to more. Our Heavenly Father, he wants to know you more than that. He wants you to talk with him more than that. We're inviting you to a lifestyle of prayer. So I don't know what adjustments you need to make in your life. We just invite you. Let's spend time with him. Let's seek him. Let's ask him. Let's see what he would do. Let's get to know him in this relationship. So we invite you into that, number one. Secondly, I'm just gonna ask that some of us in this room, I wanna invite you into relationship. So whether or not you've never found your home with our Heavenly Father, I would invite, if today is the day that you wanna give your life to him. Jesus Christ died on a cross to take care of your sin and this thing that separated you from your Heavenly Father. And he invites you, like he already paid the price so that you could know him. That if you would just simply give your life to him, then we invite you into relationship. I also wanna invite anybody in here, there's been a distance because of a disappointment or because of a no, or frankly, because you just haven't gotten responses, you just haven't talked much. Today, I invite you back into relationship. Let's join with the Father together. Let's talk with him, let's know him. Let's run through the day with him. Let's let him be our everything and let's grow in that. So as I invite us all to that, you can do that individually. We do have our prayer team here. They have prayed for countless things and we have seen answer after answer after answer. So when they're singing the song or even after the service, if you wanna be prayed over, if you wanna give them your request, you can come down here and they'll pray for you. That's the invitation. Your Heavenly Father hears, responds. We invite us to pray. Would you pray with me? King Jesus, thank you for this invitation. God, I can be a skeptic, but thank you for the reminder today that you invite us to persistently ask and to seek and to knock. It's not a burden to you. It's not annoying to you. It doesn't get old. You love to hear from your children here. So God, make us a people of prayer who come to you often. May we be about coming before you. And however you respond, we're good with that. We trust you as a good father, whether that's no, yes, wait, maybe. We just will present our request for you and we say that we trust you. So God, I pray that today that you would bring healing to those who've been disappointed by you. I pray that they may find their home. For those who have yet to know you, God, I pray that you would even give them the courage to come with the prayer team, start a relationship with you. God, as a people, we repent. For those of us who've not been walking with you, Lord, we just say we want you. We accept your invitation for relationship and prayer. Make us that, King Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Goodness of God, that he would invite us to talk with him and to know him and to present our requests before him. That's good news, amen? Really good news. Well, our first invitation from today was just simply that you would come into a relationship and you would pray individually to our Heavenly Father. But we're gonna ask you to pray as a church as well. So Midtown, what are we calling you to? You were given a map of Midtown as you walked in. And what we're doing is we would just ask that you would pray with us. We're taking November 7th, which is this Thursday, as a day of prayer. If you would join us in it, even as a prayer, a day of prayer and fasting. Well, we're gonna be praying four things over our city and for where we are The four things that we're praying that we would ask you to join us in is, number one is just a location. Since even Midtown was even a thought for probably the last 6 or 7 years, we've been looking for maybe a place to call home within our city, a permanent location. And we have yet to have an open door. So we're just gonna stop and go, Lord, would you give us a building? Would you show us where it is that you want us to be? So would you join us in praying, first of all, for, everybody say location. All right, the second thing we're gonna pray for is life, the life of our city, the welfare of our city. If you look at this map, 25 schools in this little Midtown area, to all the way to downtown. There's hospitals, there's government, there's people. We're praying for that our city would prosper. That a result of the church and what God would do here, that our city would prosper. This week, even there's talk about a teacher strike and LRSD. There's all sorts of things, and we just want to pray for our city. So we would ask that you would join us for that. So there's location, there's life. The third thing is life change. At the end of the day, we want our city to prosper, but at the end of the day, the one who brings salvation is Jesus. The one who brings about restoration and healing is Jesus, and we want people to know Jesus. And so we're praying for those things. And then the last thing that we're gonna do, the last L, is just we're gonna listen. So as you spend that day, maybe skip a meal, skip the meals for the day, then maybe you could drive around or look around or just watch this and drive around and look at neighbors in a whole new light as you pray for them, as you pray for our city. As you ask the Lord some of these things, and maybe he would speak to us. And so this is the call. You'll get an email. It'll also be on social media. We'll gather a couple places here at lunchtime, at a home, in the evening if you want to. But really, we're just asking, would you please, as a people, as a church, take a day to be able to say, Lord, we don't know exactly what to do and what's next, but our eyes are on you and we need you. So if you'll join us, we send you out in that saying, let's go as a church, praying individually, but also praying as a church and asking, let's see what he would do this coming week. We'll see y'all next week. Thanks.
Thanks again for listening with us today. As you heard in the message, if you have questions or would want to speak with a pastor, even make a decision, you can text the word follow to the number 501-406-2577. Again, that number is 501-406-2577, and a pastor will get back with you shortly. Thanks again. Have a great week.